Please take your Bibles.
If you would, let's stand together, beginning in chapter 1, verse 18. We'll read down through verse 2 of chapter 2. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the star. We thank you for these men. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, we pray for the families of Wayne Long and of Lucy Krizwicki. Have your hand upon them and give them peace of mind and comfort during this time. And Lord, we know there are others in our midst today who are struggling with things. And though they may hide it well, Lord, you know, and we ask you to give them peace of mind and comfort today, that your will would be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. An awful lot in that first verse. Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. Lots of children had been born, but it's Jesus that we come to worship. He was born in the city of David, the house of Bethlehem, or Bethlehem meaning the house of bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. Herod, also known as Herod the Great. Tradition has it he was only 15 when he was named governor of Galilee. Can you imagine that? 15. Now we have some politicians that act like they're 15. Some 35 years before the birth of Christ, the Roman Senate appointed Herod king of Judea. History tells us that he was a strong and cruel man, but he also increased the splendor of Jerusalem, erecting the temple, which was the center of Jewish worship during the time of our Lord. He thought, I'll make peace with the Jews by building them this temple. He was very paranoid about his position as king and had many family members executed, even one of his 9 wives. Can you imagine being married 9 times? I worked with a man who had been married 6 times, and shortly after we left Texas, I found out he had married for the 7th time. I thought, man, how can you get so many women to love you? Praise God, I got one to love me. But he executed one of his wives and 2 of his sons because he was afraid that they were trying to overthrow him. And in a little bit, we'll read that he had all the children under the age of 2 killed, and yet he would have been dead long before they ever would have gotten to a position where they could take the throne. So we have Jesus, we have Herod, and now we have the wise men. Who were these wise men? Well, there's many speculations. There are some who believe they were Persian scholars that had studied the Jewish writings. But most likely they were Jewish rabbis who were well-versed in the writings of Moses and the prophets. And when they saw the star, because they were familiar with the movements of the stars and the planets, they recognized this new star, and putting two and two together, they came looking for the Messiah. How many were there? Verse 2 says that they asked the question, where is he? Because we have come to worship him. There were at least 2, and there could have been 22. What we do know is that they brought 3 gifts. They would have traveled in a large caravan, maybe 100 or more people. They'd have servants and cooks and the watchmen and the guardians, and they would make their journey the long distance. And they had a mission. How many of you men have gone to shop at Lakeside and you had a mission? Your wife said, it is at this store. It is on the second level. You will find it here. And you were there on a mission. You ever do that, man? You just went. I remember my wife one time telling me I want it. It's at Sears. It's in the household goods. And I went and I looked and I went up one aisle and down another aisle and back and forth. And I couldn't find it. And it was pre-cell phone days. And I'm having a wonder. Yeah, she sent me on a wild goose chase. And I finally asked one of the employees, where is this? And they said, it's right over there. And I said, that's what my wife said. You know where it was? Right over there. It was right over there. The problem was it was in a box. Don't kill me. But they had a mission. Having seen his star, they had come to worship him. We need our society to desire to worship him again. Where is he that is king, a born king of the Jews? Notice Jesus is not king of the church. He's king of the Jews. But he's head of the church. He's the head of the church. He died for us. Verse 3, let us read it. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. In all Jerusalem with him. We have mentioned before, when the king is bothered, you better be bothered also. Because bad things happen when the king's upset. And so he not only is angry with what he has been told, but also Jerusalem is wondering what is going to happen, because they know who Herod the Great is. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Herod, being a wise political and religious person, he knew that he should call the Jewish religious leaders and ask them where this king was to be born. Demanding. Well, they knew. But they obviously had not seen the star yet, or had not put two and two together. For it tells us in verses 5 and 6, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. I love it when you read there in the book of Micah, this phrase, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from ever everlasting. How could he have been from everlasting unless he is God? Jesus is God. Not a created being. He is not the brother of Lucifer. He is God, and God sent God to die for you and for me. It was the only sacrifice that God, the Father, would accept. Verses 7 and 8. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Can you see Herod? He is a politician. He calls the wise men privately, away from the concerned religious leaders. And he asks the question, when did this star appear? This would lead to much devastation when they said the time of 2 years. He tells them to go and find this child, but he must not show too much interest. And then a bold face lie. Find him so that I may what? Worship him. Is that what he really intended to do? No. Would you say that we live in a society that is full of deceit? I was reading this the other day about fake news. We know what fake news is, right? You do realize that in our society today, you don't have to have the truth to make news. All you have to do is make something that sounds sensational, and people will jump on the bandwagon and they'll declare it to be true even when it's a lie. And I read this. It says the New York Times. Now, there's a paper you can trust, folks. The New York Times recently ran an op-ed. Now, I'm not sure what an op-ed is, and maybe afterwards you'll tell me what an op-ed is, but read an op-ed by Palestinian prisoner Marwan Barghouti. Now, I'm sure I've just slaughtered his name, but he's not here, so that's okay. And it called Why We Are on Hunger Strike in Israel's Prisons. Now, there's someone that you really want to listen to, I'm sure. But from inside the Israeli prison, he explained why he and 1,000 other Palestinian prisoners were peacefully refusing to eat as an act of resistance against Israel. He says his platform is to proclaim his innocence as part of Israel's effort to undermine the Palestinian struggle for freedom, he declared. An Israeli court sentenced me to 5 life sentences and 40 years in prison in a political show trial that was denounced by international observers. The Times touted Barghouti. Have I said his name right twice, 2 times in a row? Okay. They have praised him as a Palestinian leader and a parliamentarian. And he came across as an innocent Palestinian unjustly imprisoned by Israel for his political views. 5 life sentences in 40 years. What the New York Times neglected to mention is he is serving 5 consecutive life sentences for multiple counts of murder against innocent Israeli citizens and for several attempted terrorist attacks. He is not an innocent Palestinian political activist. He is a convicted terrorist. See, we find we live in a world where lying is commonplace. And Herod was a liar. Verses 9 and 10. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Lo, the star went before them. They took their eyes off the star and they went to Jerusalem. Because to them it made sense that he should be born in Jerusalem. Now, why they knew about the star and they didn't know about him being born in Bethlehem, I don't know. Maybe they didn't have Micah's writings. I don't know. But when you take your eyes off the Lord, it always leads to trouble. So keep your eyes on the Lord. But aren't you glad for second chances? Aren't you glad that you got to hear the gospel a second time and a third time and a fourth time so that you could accept the Lord as your Savior? You know, we see the mercy of God over and over and over again in the Word of God, and He lets them see the star again. They were excited. I mean, after all, they'd come all this way, and now they are within 5 miles of their destiny, destination. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped who? Did they worship Mary? No, they didn't worship Mary. They worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They came to a house. Warren Wiersbe writes this: by now Joseph had moved Mary and the baby from the temporary dwellings where the Lord Jesus had been born to a house. The traditional manger scenes that assembled together the shepherds and the wise men are not true to Scripture, since the wise men arrived at a later date, but they did not arrive late. They arrived right on time. Because, well, we're going to tell you about why. They saw the young child, not an infant in a manger, but a young child. They fell down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts. Now, these three guys on camelback, and wouldn't you hate to travel 400 or 500 miles on a camel? They show them holding their gifts. I don't think they held their gifts that whole distance. But it looks nice on a Sunday morning as they hold their gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is of obvious value and is the currency of kings. Frankincense was used in the Jewish temple and therefore had a relationship to the office of priest. The myrrh was an oil used to anoint the prophets, and it was also an ingredient used by the Jews to embalm their dead, and therefore may be of prophetic significance to Christ's death. But these three gifts signify the threefold office of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. Can you in your mind's eye see the camels and the caravan stopping outside this small abode? And the knocking of the door and going in and seeing the child and knowing immediately this is the one and bowing down. How many there were? 2, 10, 22, whatever. Bowing down and worshiping this small child. And the gifts are given. Well, why are the gifts given? Well, to signify his three offices. But in a moment, we're going to find that Joseph has to go to Egypt, and he's got to have some money. How many of you remember when you used to go to AAA or someplace like that, and you would buy the traveler's checks? Do you remember that? And you would have $300 or $400 worth of traveler's checks in your pocket. And you know, if you got robbed, they would be replaced. I don't know why I ever thought I'd get robbed, but, you know, I would get them. And then you'd have to find some place that would accept them. And aren't you glad we just have credit cards today? Yes. Of course, now they just steal your identity. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Being warned of God. Noah was warned of God. He was told that society was wicked and you better build an ark. These were told, don't go back to Herod. And I wondered to myself if one or two of them began to say, you knew, I knew I couldn't trust that Herod. He's a politician and he is not to be trusted. Now, may I say this? Not all politicians are bad people, okay? Donna's niece is married to a politician there in West Virginia, and he serves in the West Virginia State House. And he's a very honest man, he told me. He's also a born-again believer. That's a good thing, right? Yes. They departed into their own country another way. I know I have used that thought another way, that when you come to the Lord, you should depart differently than when you came. That when you come to the Lord, come with the desire that he will make us right and things will be different. One writer says Herod was opposing the king while the Jewish priests were ignoring the king. Of interest, when the wise men left Jerusalem and traveled the 5 miles to Bethlehem, the priests did not travel with them. Nor did Herod send any to follow them. Isn't it interesting how the Lord of the universe touches the hearts of men in different ways? Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Let me ask you this. Was it Herod that wanted to destroy Jesus? Who was it? Satan wanted to destroy Jesus. Satan tried to destroy the line through which Jesus would come. He would have whole families destroyed, and yet God would save one. Satan was using Herod. We got to be careful that we are not used by the enemy. Now, believers cannot be, what's the word I'm looking for? They can't be indwelled.
Possessed,
thank you. They can't be possessed by a demon, but they can be influenced. Be careful. Be careful, because you are an influence on other people. But Joseph was used of the Lord, and Herod was being used of Satan. We need to know who we want to use us. You want to be used of the Lord, folks. You want him to have control of your life. Because our enemy is a roaring lion, seeketh to destroy us, to devour us. And when we go down, we rarely go down alone. We usually take somebody with us, and that's a sad thing. Make sure that you are wise in your life. According to that clock, I have just over 3 minutes. I'm going to skip a part. Say amen. We find they went into Egypt. But sadly, Herod, seeing that he had been mocked, it says, of the wise men, and was exceedingly wroth, he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Christ has come to save. But why so much pain and sorrow? Even Jesus said that he came and there would be division within families. And there is division today. Hundreds of religions, thousands of false teachings. There is division. Sin separates. Grace and mercy fills the gap. Jesus, the unspeakable gift, who gives us life and peace and contentment. I would hope that your desire is to be as the wise men, to have a mission, to give of yourself to the Lord so that you are usable. Shall we stand together? Number 17, have thine own way, Lord. It's not with the invitation songs found in our songbook, but I think it's maybe the best invitation song. Have thine own way, Lord. His way is to follow him and to serve him. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we have this invitation time. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done. May the Spirit move and touch hearts. Lord, may we be convicted to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.